What's up and welcome back to another Kind of Funny live trailer reaction, this time to all of the news and the Ahsoka trailer from Star Wars Celebration 2023. Of course, I'm Tim Geddes and I'm joined by the saddest boy I know, Barrett Courtney.
It's kind of wild, Tim, of like, we had the realization 2 days ago of like, oh yeah, Star Wars Celebration is happening this weekend.
What's that?
We're probably going to have an Ahsoka trailer in the next couple of days, and it just like... You know, I usually have like this anticipation because there's always exciting things to discuss during Celebration, and I'm usually just counting down the days, and it just kind of was like, oh shit,
it's happening.
It's here.
Yeah.
There's trailers to react to, and a lot of news, and I'm so, so excited to talk about it with you.
Yeah, this is, I'm right there with you, where like, we knew this was happening, but for some reason didn't feel like it was.
Right.
So it was quite the morning to wake up. There we go. First thing I saw this morning was a tweet from you.
Yeah.
Saying, Tim, wake up, it's happening, you know, because here we are. It is all happening. Of course, this is Kind of Funny's live reactions. Anytime there's a trailer dropping that you expect that we're reacting to, chances are we're gonna make it work if we can fit it into our schedules. But there's certain things that we're like, fuck our schedules, we're making it happen. And an Ahsoka trailer is exactly that.
You know what it is? It's all the way happening in London. You know, it just feels so far away to us physically that it just felt
a galaxy always like far away.
Galaxy far there. Far away. So in our heads, maybe it was just like always distant, the celebration itself.
I do think that has a lot to do with it just timing wise, right? Where it's just like we woke up and all this stuff had already happened. Like that doesn't normally happen to us when it comes to Star Wars.
Yeah, it was funny waking up to a text from Carboni at 2 a.m. being like, I can't wait for you guys to wake up.
Yeah, that's so funny, man. But of course, this is Kind of Funny. We do a whole bunch of cool stuff. youtube.com/kindoffunny is where you want to go for all the videos. If you want to get the show ad free, patreon.com/kindoffunny helps us out a lot. You can get the show ad free, you get a whole bunch of bonus content that is super cool, super dope, and you can be a Patreon producer like Tripod Plus Plus, James Hastings, Casey Andrew, Nathan Lamothe, and Al Tribesman the Predator have done. Thank you all for your support. You know, on one hand, I want to kind of go through the news and talk about it all and make you wait even longer for your dream show, but I'm not going
to
do that to
5 hours.
I'm not
to
doing that
this.
For you. Let's watch the Ahsoka trailer, aka Rebels Season 5.
Something's coming. Something dark.
Yo.
I sense it.
Oh, that hot red.
This is a new beginning.
Sabine, let's go!
Some war.
Hera!
For others.
Power. Ooh. shit.
It's been a while.
Ezra's home planet.
Things have changed. Started hearing whispers.
Oh, Mothma! Yeah! Who is he? Who's playing him?
As heir to the Empire.
She said it!
No!
She said it!
We have to prepare for the worst. The Jedi fell a long time ago.
Dude!
There aren't many left.
There he is! There he is! Ah!
Oh, hell yeah.
Perhaps it is time to begin again.
That guy's from the cartoons too, right?
Yeah.
Let's run that shit back. I want to watch it again.
Yeah. Audio up, Kev. That was so good.
Oh my God.
Something's coming.
They said it and he's there.
I know.
Something dark.
Look at the way she uses the force to spin it around, man.
I sense it.
I love the different vibe of music in this.
Yeah. The Lothal cats.
Lothal.
Lothal's the planet. Yeah, I forget what the cats are called.
Oh my God.
Show us her baby.
Power.
Who are these new Sith Lords, man? That's so exciting.
Interesting.
It's been a while. Things have changed.
She's real.
I know.
I started hearing
her hair so long, too.
Dude. Hey, Cap, can you pause it here? Pause it on this.
Is it, shit, who,
Mars?
Scars, yeah, Skarsgård, right?
Mars Skarsgård?
Yeah. Who voices him in, there's like 10 of them, I always mix up the names.
Hold on.
But he voices Thrawn in the Rebel show, and I think he was in an interview where he was like, no, I haven't been hit up about anything, but he could easily be lying. Like, that could, like, knowing what he looks like in real life, that could be the back of his head specifically, and that'd be awesome to bring him back for this role.
Wait, Lars Mikkelsen.
Oh, it's Mikkelsen. Okay, okay.
Yeah, not a Skarsgård.
Okay, okay.
Yeah. But hold on.
God.
Yo, this 100% is him.
Shout out to him.
I'm just saying that, but like, just look at
him in Sherlock, man.
I'm only looking at the front of this man's head.
Yeah.
But that looks like what the back of this front could look like.
Yeah, yeah.
But blue.
I mean, like, maybe that's something Filoni had in mind, like, years ago, right? Like, something similar happened with Bo-Katan. Where, you know, there was, like, a little bit of designing the character around the actress. So, you know, with the idea of maybe if we do something live action, you could still play this character. Oh, God.
Yeah, keep going.
Let me hear him speak, man. Ah.
As heir to the Empire.
I can't believe she is as heir to the Empire.
Holy crap.
Who's this actor? Why? He was in something recently.
Where are they? That looks dope as shit.
I fell a long time ago. There aren't many left.
Oh my god, Ezra. You're gonna find him, Sabine.
Perhaps it is time to begin again.
I love that they're running with the vibe set up from her episode of Mando.
Yeah.
Where it's that kind of like, if Mando is like a Western, this is definitely more of that
samurai
type vibe.
Yep.
Like, man, go off, Barrett.
I mean, it's hard to break down, to take away too much from this other than like, the show is already delivering what I've wanted it to be. Kev, if you could pause on that shot of Sabine looking at her helmet. What I've wanted Ahsoka to be is Rebels Season 5, Ahsoka. And that seems to be what we're getting here. Just seeing Sabine here kind of, you know, maybe meditating a little bit, pondering on her life, pondering on where her friends are at in the galaxy right now. Like, this shot alone, to see, like, the dyed hair finally, because she always, like, goes through different hair colors. That's why I remember when, I forget what name she's going by now, but Sasha Banks.
Mercedes,
when she was cast in Mando Season 2, I was like, is she going to be Sabine? Because she also does, like, a lot of the hair coloring. I wonder where they're going to take this. Like, essentially with, you know, I know, like, we can kind of see, and we've been able to see the last couple of years, of where the kind of overall, like, building up Thrawn as kind of the main, the new kind of big bad, possibly, being the heir to the Empire, and then also the search for Ezra. And I wonder how all of that's going to go. It seems like Thrawn is back in some way, shape, or form. That means Ezra's around. Maybe Ezra didn't survive, like, and that would be, like, a really weird, interesting takeaway from that. I think later on, like, Sabine's looking at a recording of Ezra that I think he might have left at the end of Rebels Season 4. I love the animatronic Lethal Cat. That's awesome. I'm so excited for this, man. There's a lot of different ways that they could go with it. And obviously with some of the news that we'll talk about in just a minute here, it'll be interesting to see how they build this all up. Will Thrawn kind of be the big, big bad at the end of the day with this movie coming up? Or is it the Sith Lords that might all be kind of connected into making the First Order, right? There's so many different ways. I love seeing Lethal. That's like That's the tower that Ezra would kind of like always go in and I think lived in for a bit. Yeah. And it seems that that's where Sabine is now. I think it's interesting that I think we know from past celebrations, they do recreate the shot of the end of Rebel season 4, where it's a bit of a time jump. It takes place after Return of the Jedi. You know, like Hera, they talk about like, oh, Hera was a part of the rush to Endor and all of these things. And it you see Sabine and Ahsoka kind of meet back up with the implication of like, maybe they're going to go look for their friend. This is not that scene, but I think we saw it last year of them essentially recreating. Ahsoka's got the big like white robe on her with the whatever the huge staff that she's holding. And Sabine seems to be ready to go on the that adventure. I wonder if this is the meeting up beforehand, because I think in that shot Sabine still like she has her hair cut, and as we see in those shots her hair is a little bit longer, so maybe, you know, Sabine is maybe feeling a little kind of lost into like where are her friends. You know, she's not really a part of like the Mandalorian currently right now, and so maybe there's a little bit of like, hey, we're meeting back up as friends, Sabine and Ahsoka, but Sabine maybe not be emotionally ready to go on that journey to kind of reconnect herself with everybody else. And then maybe later on we get that kind of the scene at the end of season 4, but recontextualize and getting a full picture of where they're at emotionally when they go search for their boy.
It's interesting, even just Ahsoka herself, right? Yeah. Like with this presumably being after what we see of her in Mando season 2.
Right.
Right. So she's met Grogu, mm-hmm. you know, she's met probably many times Luke.
Yep.
And with what we're getting here, I didn't expect to get as many Jedi, as many like sabers.
I know.
It's pretty cool. I'm excited for that. We get Mon Mothma, tie him in the Andor.
I'm wondering where those... actually, let's talk about Mothma really quick. I love that we're kind of getting more of her in post kind of Empire era, because we know that she's handled some of the things of making the New Republic, so I love that we'll be able to actually get to see that more on screen in a kind of live action medium there. So that's really cool.
One thing I saw online is the guy second from the right is somehow related to one of the Star Wars Resistance characters.
Oh, okay. Resistance was my limit where I was like, this does look really kiddie. I hear there are some things that are worth watching it for, but I have not gone down the Resistance rabbit hole, but you know, maybe there will be some stuff that connects into that, because that's also like a kind of prequel to the sequel trilogy. So, yeah. You know, maybe after this, I'm like, all right, let's get fully into Resistance and check that out.
I love the amount of like the background that we're seeing here, like this kind of aesthetic from Star Wars that we've been getting a lot more in the shows recently. But there's a shot coming up later where the Sith dude's like going through the hallway, and it's just like, man, this is fucking
It feels
cool.
Like original trilogy a little bit. Yeah, I wonder where Thrawn is.
I can't believe he's
here.
Real.
I know. This is fucking insane. Like, I'm trying to think back of some of his, not like throne room, but like his offices in Star Wars Rebels. And like, this doesn't ring a bell for anything. Like, maybe this is a new office, like, on Lothal. I don't know. He was very...
It looks like maybe he's in an eyeball. Could he have eaten or hollowed out the whale and be using its brain?
Yeah, that's definitely a possibility.
There's a mountain back there. You think that's Ock 2?
even Ock 3.
Shit.
He had an obsession with, you know, there are definitely some Outer Rim planets that he was very, like... These are very crucial to, you know, the plans of the Empire, and we kind of get that same feeling from The Mandalorian, even though it feels a little bit kind of directionless right now. There is something going on with, like, the Outer Rim.
The thing about Mando is, and we've talked about this a lot, I don't think it's directionless. I think the direction is extremely clear. It's just more of, like, the show feels a little bit weird about how it's handling going in that direction,
right? That's a better way to put it. But we're getting those little hints of like something's going on out here, and the New Republic is kind of ignoring it. So I wonder if that's something else Ahsoka has to like kind of deal with. Like maybe she's trying to help the New Republic, but they're like, we're spread thin and we don't know what we're really doing anymore, and we're going to shut down our galactic fleet for some dumb reason.
Yeah.
And I wonder what our big boy is up to. Like, is he kind of heading the plans of you know, the cloning of the Emperor, creating Snoke, what that all means. We see here, I don't know who this character is back here, but
yeah, who's this actress?
She seems familiar, but that seems to be the same place that Thrawn was just walking in right now as well. So, yeah, if you could pull up like an IMDb just to see like who the cast is.
She's super familiar.
But yeah, that seems to be the same eyeball shape. So it's a ship of some kind, of some sort, because yeah, you don't see the mountain in the little eyeball there. So yeah, I wonder what that's all about. And then yeah, these new, I don't even feel confident in calling them Sith Lord, but you know, dark force users at least, with these red lightsabers. Yeah, is this a Game of Thrones dude? He looks like a Game of Thrones dude. And
Ian Payne, I think, is it?
Okay. Like what their whole deal is.
I
like,
don't think so.
Are they ex Inquisitors, possibly? Like, you know, just because the
Emperor. Oh! Don't know why I got that excited for this, but just looking at his outfit, Knights of Ren?
Oh!
They're a little far fetched, but I mean, like, that type of more medieval. Like, and even his
very
saber.
Early versions of, like, what the Knights of Ren kind of turn into with that armor. I could see it.
I mean, especially with Filoni and all that. Gotta connect the, and, like, solve the problems
shit. He likes to recontextualize things to make, you know, background stuff feel a little bit more important. But, yeah, like, it could be a little bit of both. Like, maybe these are ex-Inquisitors who are starting their own thing, and so now we get to learn a little bit about, like, why the Knights of Ren are cool, maybe. Yeah, there we see Hera, which is awesome. Not familiar with the two people behind her, but...
Elizabeth Winstead, man. Like,
I know!
On,
and I, like, I forgot that was her. Like, she looks great as Hera, man. That's going to be so exciting. I want to see their baby. I want to see her and Kanan's baby. And, you know, just revel in the sadness of, you know, Kanan, you know, not being around.
So this dude here, the actor Ray Stevenson, a mystery villain named Babylon, the right-hand man of Thrawn. He'll be commanding his own battalion of special stormtroopers.
Fuck. What makes them special, too?
Yeah.
What makes them special? And then, yeah, who is this other actor here?
I don't know, but she's badass.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, I'm so ready for these two characters. They look super
sick.
Yeah,
and I love, like, the type of... It's more of, like, a red or, like, a blood orange there. With his lightsaber, like, not fully red like we see with, like, Vader or Maul. And then, yeah, we get this shot. I think this is Ezra's last kind of message to the ghost crew from the end of Rebels. And, yeah, I wonder if maybe, like, maybe the story is that maybe it's not the search for Ezra. I would have to rewatch the end of Rebel Season 4 just to get the specifics of, like, what Sabine says at the end there. But, like, you know, maybe it's not about them finding their friend. Maybe they know their friend is lost or gone, you know. And maybe that's why Sabine is in her funk of, you know, there is a little bit of a relationship there. As much as, like, a kid's show will do between those two characters. And, like, maybe there is, like, a moment where they learn, like, yeah, he did not survive that sacrifice at the end of that show to deal with Thrawn. And, you know, kind of dealing with that on an emotional level. Also dealing with, like, maybe his, like, kind of attack against Thrawn felt a little bit fruitless because Thrawn's back in some way. I don't know, man.
I don't think he's gone.
That's an interest. That's just like a theory there that I find interesting. But yeah, I don't necessarily think that like that would 100% be the case.
This guy Ray Stevenson was not in Game of Thrones, but he was in a ton of other things, including a bunch of Star Wars stuff, where he voiced Gar Saxon in both Rebels and Clone Wars.
Gar
Saxon. And it looks like in Ahsoka, it's not Babylon, it's Baylon.
Oh, Baylon. Gar Saxon. What is there anything? Where he's not a voice actor that he's in, because it just, like, his face looks familiar.
Ton of stuff, but, like, he seems like an episode-by-episode actor, you know?
Gotcha, gotcha. I don't
know what they're called, but okay. In Walking Dead and things like that.
I'm trying to think of who Gar Saxon is. I think that's, like, one of Ezra's parents' friends. Or you said he was in Clone Wars and Rebels, right?
Yeah.
Okay, and then I'm not thinking of the right guy.
Ezra was, like, our friend Rahul has, like, said publicly that, like, he'd love to play Ezra, right?
Yeah.
It's disappointing to see this guy's not Rahul.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, we knew that from a couple of years ago. I think it's the actor from
Aladdin
who's playing him. And, yeah, and, like, the, yeah, with Raul, it would have, I think Raul might have been, like, the, oh, okay, he served, yeah, Gar Saxon is the Mandalorian who served under Maul in season 7 of Clone Wars, if you remember that, if you watched the final season of that show. And then, yeah, we've got this dual lightsaber. The fact that there's, like, many... And then, oh, yeah, okay. Go to that kind of closer shot there, Kev, where you see a little bit of the saber. That feels a little bit Inquisitor style of the double lightsaber. They use them to spin around and,
yeah,
like, kind of glide around, which is so dumb but so cool.
Actually fly with it?
Oh, yeah, Kevin.
No.
Oh, yeah, Kevin. It's sick as hell. It's silly as hell, but it's sick as hell. And so, like, I wonder if this is, like, the remnant, like, kind of like Thrawn is, of, like, a remnant of the Empire, who's going to be, you know, is the heir to the Empire. Also, go back to that shot, Kev, because we've got some ships to look at there. Yeah, I wonder if this is, like, another part of the remnant of the Empire, of, like, the Inquisitors.
Yeah,
like, and where, like, they at? Not being Inquisitors, because, you know, Inquisitors were just, like, a bunch of children that Vader was taking care of and kind of pitting against each other just to make them all mad. So, like, what does that look like if they're the leaders? Again, that's a lot of assuming. But then, yeah, you see, like, these ships. At first I thought, like, oh, we doing a weird pod racing?
Yeah, it looks like
thing?
Pod race.
But then if you look further back, that seems to be Star Destroyer being built as well. So this seems to be, like, maybe a base for, you know, that, you know, Thrawn is a part of to, you know, build up a new fleet for him to kind of take over.
This is like the Star Killer, like they're building that giant planet size.
No, probably not.
I hope we never get the story of Starkiller being built.
It's happening, bro. In another one of the shots, we do see, like, the TIE window. Like, the little TIE shape of the window, so I imagine that it is.
Yeah, I wonder, those, like, kind of random dudes that she was fighting.
This is sick.
Yeah, this seems to be kind of an infiltration. Maybe this is, like, early on of, like, her looking for Thrawn, similar to Mando Season 2, and she found this base that these Star Destroyers are being built, kind of learning of, like, what's going on here? Like, who are these people? And, yeah, I wonder if this turns into the story of, you know, she says heir to the Empire, and there is, like, the how Thrawn was introduced in the books in the expanded universe that's not really canon anymore. But I wonder if they kind of, if they're looking to recontextualize that into, you know, building the Empire, but then the Empire, you know, his new version of the Empire kind of gets turned into the First Order.
Yeah.
Whether he's really in leagues with Palpatine with that,
I mean, there's one big factor, which is Moff Gideon, right?
Yes.
I feel like the questions will be answered once we understand the relationship between Moff Gideon and Thrawn.
Yeah.
Like, are they together? Are they two separate antagonists?
Or is it like Moff Gideon works for Thrawn? Yeah, but then he's also secretly doing Palpatine stuff under, like, the side. Because it's been a while since I've read some of the... kind of like backstory for Thrawn in the original stuff, but I think when he was trying to rebuild the Empire, he wasn't really. I know there's a whole Palpatine cloning thing in kind of non-canon books now, but I forget if that was all really connected or if Thrawn just kind of wanted to be the kind of head guy after the Empire had fallen. It's all a little bit hazy.
Closing this one out, we just get the logo one more time and August release date. For this one,
hell yeah.
So August is Ahsoka.
Do we know how many episodes?
We don't.
Okay,
we do not. Okay. Original series streaming in August, very exciting stuff. We're gonna get into all the rest of the news that was talked about in just a second, but real quick, here's a word from our sponsors, and we're back. So, we reacted to the Ahsoka trailer, but there was a lot more news that dropped today. Some of it surprised me quite a bit.
Ooh, break it down for me, Tim, because I've seen snippets here and there, a little bit of chunks. I haven't had, like, a full rundown of what the hell happened today, what Carbone was, you know, awake for at 3 a.m. our time.
In his impossibly cool jacket. You see his
so
little jacket?
So cool.
Fucking awesome. So here's the deal, guys. We're going to talk about TV shows first. Andor season 2. They seem to be pushing real hard on this one. They know the hit that they had. They're like, yo, we're going to continue that streak. We know Andor has one more season, and then it's done.
Yep.
This is it. Season 2, likely summer 2024. Filming will complete this August, then go into post-production. They feel confident summer 2024.
Okay.
I'm excited for that. They showed a little tease. We saw a leaked version of it. Seems just kind of like tone.
Here are the characters.
Yeah. Hey, remember these people? They're still here.
Yeah.
Cool. Great. Excited for that. The Acolyte got a new logo. 2024 release date on Disney Plus. The Mandalorian, they said that Rick Famuyiwa will direct the last two episodes. So they have
for
season three. Yeah. So I guess those are the next two. So next week's and the following. They're also showing next week's episode at Celebration. So be careful of spoilers if you care about all that.
Okay.
And then Skeleton Crew. This is one that's a little interesting to me, Barrett.
Mm-hmm.
We've heard about this. This is the one from John Watts, the Spider-Man Home Trilogy director.
Yep.
But they announced the different directors that will
be. I don't know why, like, I've never, like, thought of what John Watts looks like. Mm. That is definitely not what I expect.
I've met that man.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
Is he cool?
He's really cool. Really nice guy.
Nice.
And super great. And I feel like has a good understanding of that.
Shout out to
Daniels. I love that they're just I feel like the Daniels purposely never put out good photos. So whenever things like this happen, people who are like running events of like, all right, we need to get a good picture of the Daniels. There are no good pictures of the Daniels.
Perfect. There's only perfect pictures. But what's cool about this is I feel like John Watts has a really good, I know some people don't love the Marvel or MCU Spider-Man movies. I do. And one of the reasons I love them most is I think they really nailed that high school vibe and like the dynamic between the kids.
Yeah.
And this seems to be a more kid focused show in terms of like the characters themselves. So I'm excited to see what they pull off.
Who's the lead on this show too is why am I blanking on his name? Handsome British man.
Yeah. He was in Captain Marvel. Jude Law.
Jude Law. What a handsome man.
I love Jude Law.
He's so good.
Yeah, so that should be pretty cool. But what's interesting here is these directors, Daniels, I mean, come on, Everything Everywhere All at Once, doing some Star Wars. We know that like the directors usually don't have their full imprint on it, but look at the title.
Any imprint, you know?
I don't know.
What's up? Why are you skipping over Dave
Lowry? I'm going to go back. Right. I'm going back.
Yeah, I'm unfamiliar with David Lowry.
The Green Knight, which I freaking loved. And that type of vibe for a Star Wars thing, this could be cool. This is an eclectic group of directors for what I'd imagine.
It is. I think we talked about this a little bit ago because I think maybe the directors had like leaked or something. Because I remember you and I talking about the Daniels like a month ago or maybe just a few weeks ago. My hesitance here is when you bring in really cool directors who have their like a very visible style and voice and tone. To Star Wars, you never really feel it in the final product.
I think you do with the shows.
When they do that, right?
I don't go back to Taika Waititi directed Mandalorian. I don't feel his.
I definitely do. I mean, especially because he has a voice and he is a character. But I feel like that character is very Taika, not the most Taika, but like you get hints of it, and I'd rather hints of it than.
But those hints feel like because he's literally a voice in the show, not because of his directing style. Of course, we know like Phil Lord and Chris Miller were originally directors of Solo, and then got taken out because they're like their process of directing a movie didn't really vibe with the Lucasfilm crew.
Ryan Johnson too,
and
The vibe of his movies is very specific, and that was not present in the movie that he made.
That's fair. I would argue there are some shots, but definitely overall the vibe of Last Jedi, I would agree that
But usually his movies are fun.
Okay, I don't need to get into that whole fucking conversation. I really don't.
They fucked it all up. Jake Schreier is the director of Thunderbolts coming up, so.
Oh, interesting.
And also Paper Towns,
that was the adaptation of
the book.
Yeah, the
from
book. That dude Greg Miller.
Yeah. Why am I blanking on his name?
Hank something, right?
Yes, Green.
Hank Green.
It's the other Green, though, not Hank.
Tom.
John Green.
John Green.
We're close. Yep.
And then Bryce Dallas Howard.
Who's directed some great stuff in The Mandalorian. So
and exciting. Last week's episode.
Yeah. Yeah. And last week's episode.
And then Lee Isaac Chung, who I am unfamiliar with, but has done Minari. So Minari was a best
Oscar,
film.
Right? Yeah.
Oscar nominee.
Okay.
Correct?
Okay. All right.
Yes, that is correct. So okay, cool, interesting stuff here.
I think it's a promising lineup, especially when like there's the hard sell of here's the Skeleton Crew. It's got Jude Law and a bunch of kids, you know? And so I think this is like a, hey, even though this might be a little bit more kid-centric, we've got like the, you know, an interesting lineup of production people that might not make it feel totally like, oh, this is just a little kid show kind of thing. So
yeah, for sure. Interesting here, they showed screenshots, a whole bunch of them from Skeleton Crew at Star Wars Celebration, not publicly, but just looking at it, it seems like Vane, the space pirate from the most recent season of Mando, is going to be a factor for Skeleton Crew. And something that we've heard before,
the more and more like news we get out of all of this, the more and more Mando season 3 feels like, what is it, Iron Man 2, where it's just like a lot of setup for other things of like Vane flies
what Star
off.
Wars is, man.
He's like, I'm gonna go screw you guys. I'm gonna go to Skeleton Crew. Yeah. Woo.
But we've heard that pirates are gonna be the bad guys in Skeleton Crew before when they first talked about the show. So
we know when Skeleton Crew it's around the same time as Mando season.
Exactly. Post Jedi is what they've said. So we know that it's there. And now that we have more information, it's all starting to add up.
And I know like this is
more.
All so stupid and fake, but bringing into the canon of the Disney park of Star Wars Land, right? We do know that Hondo works with Chewie at some point in the new Resistance in the sequel era, right? Like, what if we get Hondo, but it's before he's like kind of like fighting for the good guys and still kind of doing his whole thing. That's just me wanting Hondo.
We're going to get Hondo at some point. I really think so. And
there's so many pirates and you're not going to bring in my boy.
When are we going to get Batuu in live action? It's gonna happen for sure. So I wouldn't be surprised if it happens around here or in a potential movie that we'll talk about soon. But the other thing that surprises me most about Skeleton Crew, this year.
Really?
2023 for Skeleton Crew. So we're going from Mando season 3 to Ahsoka to Skeleton Crew. Bad Batch in there as well. So that's like, oh wow. I would have sworn that Skeleton Crew 2024, it still might end up getting pushed.
Yeah. Yeah, because you have to imagine like if Ahsoka's in a 6 to 8 episode run, because like Book of Boba Fett was 6 episodes, right? And then Mando seasons have been 8 episodes. So if we're looking at that, if that's starting in August, then you're wrapping up in October-ish. So you still have like a good, you know, couple month window to kind of close out the year. And that's kind of what the first season of Mandalorian did and Book of Boba Fett.
They're not afraid to cross over years either.
Yeah, exactly.
But then the final thing, Ahsoka. August 2023, we got the trailer. We reacted to that earlier. But then we move on to the movies.
Remind me to loop back to Ahsoka when we talk about a specific movie.
The movies are very interesting.
Yeah.
Obviously, three were announced today. And obviously, we know from Star Wars, movies being announced does not mean movies are going to happen. We are now, nine movies in to announcements? And they've all not happened. Right?
And there's also shows that, like, you know, remember the Lando show?
Yeah. I mean, that's – and the droid show, a droid story or whatever.
Yeah,
so there are things out there that were announced that were not followed up on. And then there's ones that were, like, the Rian Johnson trilogy. There was the David Benioff and D.B. Weiss trilogy. Both of those seemingly not happening.
Mm.
There was Rogue Squadron seemingly not happening.
Right.
There's the Taika Waititi movie seemingly still happening. And now what's most interesting about this, Barrett – there was a quote from an interview today from Celebration. There's a lot of stuff coming in that's not officially said on a panel, so we'll see where things land. The plan is supposedly that these three movies we're about to talk about are before Taika Waititi's Star Wars movie.
Wow.
Yeah. So
that's wild.
We'll see. We'll see. I will say, I have more faith in these three happening than the others because this definitely feels like a reset point.
One of them definitely is
needs to make films.
Yeah.
So
exactly.
We got to figure this out. What's the right way to do it? I appreciate no dates on these.
Mm-hmm.
No trilogy.
Yeah.
No sign of like, whatever. It's just, these are just movies.
The trilogy's happened. The main, you know, Skywalker saga is complete, for better or for worse. But there's still a big universe out there to explore. There's still a bigger universe out there to explore in both shows and film that doesn't have to cross over with the, you know, the Filoni stuff. There's a lot of cool things to do. And so, like, I mean, you know, they're taking another swing here. And
some would
say
there's 9 different eras that they can cover. Kevin, please bring up the image. They announced today there are 9 eras of Star Wars, starting with Dawn of the Jedi, moving into the Old Republic, then the High Republic, then the Fall of the Jedi, the Rise of the Empire, or Reign of the Empire, the Age of Rebellion, The New Republic, Rise of the First Order, and then The New Jedi Order. So two of these are brand new to what we've known. Dawn of the Jedi, and then The New Jedi Order. So let's get right into this here. Three movies announced.
Really, really quick, that Dawn of the Jedi logo is
it's from not- Last Jedi.
Okay, yeah, it's in his
a good line. Movie.
So, Dave Filoni, it's finally happening. Directing a Star Wars movie.
That's
culminating
wild.
The Mandoverse events. So all the shows we're getting here are going to end in a movie. Something we've thought of for a long time,
yeah.
But it's now officially happening. And with the shows just continually being added, Skeleton Crew, what we're seeing of Mando Season 3 seeming to be taken in the Rangers of the New Republic, Rangers, whatever the fuck it's called, all together into something here.
Yeah.
Another thing scuttlebutt heard around Celebration. Mando does have an end. All the shit Filoni and Favreau have been saying is just fucking talking.
Yeah.
There will be an end to Mando. It seems. And it might be this. But yeah, so we're going to get a full.
Yeah, because that's what I was thinking when they were talking about, like, you know, yeah, the kind of this era of the New Republic era, maybe transitioning into the Rise of the First Order era. Like, maybe, like, I was. Like, how are they going to end it? But then Favreau wants to keep doing the show forever. Like, how make that make sense? But if that's like the little hearsay at Celebration, that'll be interesting. That makes me a little bit more excited of, you know, maybe Mando Season 3 was unfortunately, you know, like taking a little bit of hit of like trying to bring in, you know, plot points from a completely different show. Also trying to, you know, pick up the remnants of Book of Boba Fett and trying to refigure out where Mando is as a character. So maybe if they're wrapping it up with like a season 4 or season 5, like hell yeah, like, you know, figure out a story, tell it, don't be here forever. Only one piece can pull that off.
Again, no dates. So yeah. Maybe Mando season 10, you know?
That's true. And that was the thing that I was thinking about as well this morning, where they're talking about like it's going to kind of culminate in what gets built up in Mandalorian and Ahsoka. And I was like, but they're being very vague about that. Is it Ahsoka just after one season? Does Ahsoka get like two or three seasons?
We get another Book of Boba Fett.
Do we get another Book of Boba Fett?
We do get Skeleton Crew.
We do get Skeleton Crew. Will Space Vespas come back? Who knows?
Who knows?
Will the Space Vespas be integral to the final plan in the movie that wraps this era up, much like the Space Whales wrapped everything up in Star Wars Rebels?
We can only hope.
And I think it's awesome that they're looking to wrap it up as a movie, you know, something that we really felt when we reviewed the kind of second half of Star Wars Clone Wars Season 7. So those final four episodes just feel like it's an animated movie, but they broke it up into episodes because that's just what the show was. And so I'm definitely down for that, but, you know, just putting it all into a two and a half hour movie and tale of, you know, talking about where these people and their journeys kind of have to end, because we know by the end or by the beginning of the sequels, you know, not a lot of these characters are around, right? That is a space whale. That is a space whale.
So moving on from Filoni, we have James Mangold,
yeah,
aka the director of Logan and the upcoming Indiana Jones and the Dial of Destiny, directing and writing a movie about the first Jedi. Called, yeah, Dawn of the Jedi, which is pretty fucking cool.
I know. I think they were talking about like it truly feeling like an epic in some way, shape or form. Pardon me. Yeah, I'm into that.
They're gonna have to plug in their lightsabers. That's what I heard.
Yeah, I think like Altano was tweeting out about this. Of it'll be cool to see a different era of Star Wars. Like, hopefully, there's just not a lot of technology. You know, like it's more of. You know, like a more low-tech era of the universe, because it's not something we've really seen. We see the High Republic in, you know, Era 3 right there. That's like 200 years before the prequels, right? But, you know. Acolyte's going to take place there. And that really feels like the peak of technology and, you know, combining technology with the Force and all this weird, cool stuff. And I think it's interesting that they're kind of distinguishing the Old Republic as before the High Republic, because to me the Old Republic is just, you know, the Republic that falls turning into the Empire. So I think it's interesting of like,
oh, that is an interesting like
kind of flip, right?
Yeah,
to me it would be Dawn of the Jedi, the High Republic, And then you get into the Old Republic, and then, you know, fall. I understand you Fall know, of the Jedi, but it, to me, it's like more Fall of the Republic.
What's interesting, though, is I guess in canon, we don't have an Old Republic.
That's true. That's true.
So maybe this is just kind of like retrofitting that in.
Yeah, bringing that in. Okay.
But yeah, the Dawn of the Jedi, like you said.
Maybe we'll get Raven.
We're seeing the iconography there of from Last Jedi, First Jedi. Something there, right? Yeah. They've been building towards trying to fix these things for a while. So,
and yeah, and then I think it's interesting. You have the New Republic era, which I think is where Mando is, and then right after that, the rise of the First Order, which we haven't really seen. And again, I wonder if that's what they're using the kind of Mando era universe story to transition into. 100%, of like,
which is exciting.
Know, I think that whenever that movie comes out, I think it's going to be real sad. I think, you know, a lot of our heroes are not going to, you know, find a lot of success. And, you know, maybe it'll be a small success like the end of Rebels, where it's like, all right, we took out Thrawn, but at what cost? And it's going to be, you know, because we know that the Emperor gets all of his weird Snoke clones. And
his fleet of
Yeah, and ships. Possible big fleet of ships, so yeah, I would
figure
expect
that out somehow.
I would expect really sad things. You know, maybe we get a little young Ben Solo somewhere around there too.
Yeah. Well, let's continue on from there.
Okay.
Because we have one final movie directed by Sharmeen Obaid-Chinoy, who I am unfamiliar with. Looking at her work,
shout out, first Muslim woman to be directing a Star Wars.
Oh yeah. Well. Potentially. Rogue Squadron. Patty Jenkins. Maybe. Just maybe.
Muslim woman.
But, oh yeah. There we go. It's about a new Jedi Order. It takes place 15 years after Episode 9. Daisy Ridley returns as Rey to give us the movie that we all wanted with Episode 7 with Luke Skywalker.
So this is a lot of people are dunking on this on Twitter of like, you know, why would you try to build a new Jedi Order? It's been done and failed twice. What's the point? I think that, like, to me, I think there is still some interesting story to tell there, because a lot of what we look at of interpreting a lot of the stories of the decline of the Jedi, the falling of the Jedi from the prequels, and then kind of the vague storytelling of, you know, Luke also failing at making an order. A lot of that is us extrapolating of like, you know, maybe the Jedi are bad at like doing this, and maybe, you know, they shouldn't be people who have like this huge organization that has a good chunk of stake into, you know, how the galaxy is ran. And I think there's still an interesting story to actually tell in Star Wars that is upfront about, you know, why do the Jedi fail time and time again? And so I'm into it. I like the idea of actually like looking at, you know, the folly of the Jedi in the past. I know that's brought up a little bit in Last Jedi, and like even Fallen Order kind of looks at it in interesting ways with who's the cool dude who takes off his shirt and he's got I forget his name, but he talks about that of like kind of like actually looking at, you know, the Jedi kind of sucked in the prequels, and so I wonder if there's a more direct story there to kind of look back at the Jedi through the ages, but through the lens of Rey trying to do it again and maybe failing, and that being a good thing.
Out of these, I'm most excited for this.
Really?
Yeah.
I'm very surprised by that.
Yeah. I mean, the Mando thing and the Filoni directing, like, that to me is awesome. And
that feels like a culmination of something we knew was going to happen.
Exactly. And I just feel like right now what that thing is extremely messy because we're talking about a lot of different shows of varying quality and all that.
Right.
But I think that they'll pull off something that is the movie version of what we've been getting.
Mm-hmm.
Cool. Great. I'm happy with that. This moving forward, being able to just kind of like, it is the furthest thing we have so far. I like that. I want to get more into Rey. Maybe we can like fix some shit and just kind of like have this be good.
Yeah.
I guarantee this is episode 10. Really? It will eventually be named episode 10.
Wow.
Referred to whatever it is.
I hope it's...
They don't need to announce a trilogy though. Just have it be episode 10 and then just be able to keep going on. But this is cool. I think that we're going to continue to get more and more of this. We're going to get all the actors back. It's going to be an episode 10. Like, I do think they're going to right the wrongs. I think that Finn will be a Jedi. I think that it's going to just, this is 100% going to be the Sequels were made to apologize for the prequels, and now this is going to happen.
The sequel sequels are being made.
Yeah.
But, character-wise, I definitely see what you're saying there. Because, I think Filoni, the thing he's tackling right now, is kind of the larger universe, what we've talked about a little bit of, like, what was the political landscape of the sequels? You don't really know. It's all just very ethereal and weird. So I think that's what he's trying to tackle, of more, like, bigger lore stuff. The landscape of what the galaxy was, kind of contextualizing that to make it have a little bit more meaning. Why does, you know, why does Palpatine have all these Snoke clones? Things of that nature. I do like the idea of on the flip side, you know, doing a little sequel to kind of give more breath to the characters themselves and the kind of heart of what those stories in the sequels were supposed to be.
Yeah.
So.
And 15 years after, I feel like that's a wide enough gap from the end of 9 to kind of put Rey in a very different place. And hopefully that's a good thing, because the 30-year gap, in retrospect, probably not long enough when it comes to from Jedi to Force Awakens, for them to sufficiently answer the questions within its own trilogy, not within 15 different shows that will recontextualize over the course of time. But hey, we're along for the ride for all of it. We react every single week to Mandalorian. We got two left, so please check out all of our previous thoughts on Mando Season 3 so far.
And we'll be back for Ahsoka, right?
And we'll be back for Ahsoka. Are you kidding me? Of course. It's a great time. Great time to be a Star Wars fan and a Lizzo fan. Let us know in the comments below what color you think dildos are. And until next time, I love you. Goodbye. Kev, you think dildo. What color?